be talking, as Don said, about design and analysis of large variety trials, which is partly covering the same material that we had in the design workshop on Sunday. So I have a dual affiliation, as you'll see. Rothamsted was where I spent most of my career. VSN is where I am now, the reason being that I was responsible for the group developing the statistical system GenStat, and we were privatized in the early part of this century. So unlike David, I will be recommending a piece of software, but you can sit in the background and factor in that I would say that anyway, because it's the software that we produce. But I hope it has some nice features. And I'll also be looking at another couple of pieces of software that are developed by people that I know that is also very useful too. Okay, so what I want to do is to whiz through the aims and techniques for traditional design and then just show you how they're modified when you start to look at variety trials. So the original ideas from Fisher were that you controlled for variation by blocking, grouping your units together into replicates to allow you to estimate and remove the between group differences. And here's a straightforward randomized complete block design. We've got the main trends, as we might think, going up and down the field, and so we block one, block two, block three, so that when we fit the blocks, hopefully we're moving the trend. And this is something that works very nicely for small experiments, as you'll see. And again, the original aim was to have things balanced, by which I mean that we aim to estimate every treatment contrast equally efficiently. And I think in half an hour I won't define what I mean by efficient, but there are papers containing a lot of maths that would do that for me. Exception, of course, would be if you view a particular term as being uninteresting. For example, you may confound the whole plot factor, in this case variety, with the whole plots in your design. So here we are, we have variety confounded with whole plots and being compared against a residual that is larger because it's based upon whole plots that are more variable than the subplots within the whole plots. And this is GenStat output, if it looks unfamiliar. You may not be used to having an ANOVA table that actually identifies the residual for each term. exception, of course, well, another exception is that in multifactorial experiments, often people will confound higher order interactions with blocks, and this is possibly more in industrial experiments than the kind of experiments that I see most often. So this leads us to analysis of variance and all the familiar techniques that we're used to, ANOVA tables, F tables, means and t-tests. Well, when we start looking at variety trials, there are some issues which I'll run through, and some problems and some solutions. So one of the key problems here is that your variety factor will usually have many levels. You'll be looking at quite a number of genotypes at once. So the standard ideas of blocking aren't going to work because you'll end up with blocks that are really too large to be able to represent the sort of fertility patterns that you have in the field. And here's an example. We've got, if you can see the red lines, are dividing our six blocks here, six replicates, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and we've got 25 plots within each of those, and that's really rather too large for us to be able to say that we've represented the underlying variation particularly well. So what people tend to use are incomplete blocks. By incomplete, I mean they contain only a subset of the treatments, and as a result, the designs usually would be unbalanced. And so we get out of the familiar ANOVA territory into REML, where, which will give us the same results if it's a balanced design, but it extends to the more general situations. And in those more general situations, as I'm sure you've seen, you don't get an ANOVA table. T-tests become somewhat problematic, and there's the scope for a several-day course on this, which I'm not going to get through in half an hour. But again, we are already moving into unfamiliar territory. REML does provide us with quite a number of advantages, though, because the algorithm allows you to, instead of looking at blocking to describe your fertility trends, you can fit spatial models that basically model the way that the covariance changes between the plots as you move up and down or across the field. And clearly, if you're going to be doing a spatial analysis, you perhaps need to think about doing your experiments using designs that are chosen in order to be effective with spatial analyses. So what sort of designs might we have? The traditional designs for variety trials, again we're back with Fisher's henchperson, you might say Frank Yates. The square lattice was one that he produced, but the downside there is that you must have a square number of varieties. So here's an example. This is an unrandomized plan actually here, which makes it easier for me to show you the characteristics of it. But you can see we've got two replicates, we've got 25 treatments here, and we've got blocks of size 5. And the first block, say in rep 1, has got treatments 1 to 5. The second has got treatments 6 to 10. I said I hadn't randomized this. I'm not recommending that you do it. But this, as a result, then clearly the comparison between the mean of treatments 1 to 5 and the mean of treatments 6 to 10 will be confounded with blocks. And this is what you see in the output. You've got some of the degrees of freedom for variety are estimated both between blocks, as in 1 to 5 versus 6 to 10 in replicate 1, and they're estimated within blocks, and that comparison of 1 to 5 versus 6 to 10 will be within blocks in replicate 2, because there we've chosen to confound some different sets of contrasts. So it's a more complicated situation. We've got some of the contrasts being estimated with efficiency 1/2 within the blocks and 1/2 between, and other ones that are estimated completely within blocks. But I think the main issue here is that we can only do it for a square number of treatments. So an alternative, Harshberger, 1949, over this side of the Atlantic, I think, looked at a rectangular lattice where instead of being a square, you've got n by n minus 1, which extends it a little bit. But I guess most of the breeders in the audience wouldn't want to be told that you're constrained as to the number of genotypes that you can look at a time. So clearly we need something better. And what I would say is being used most often would be to use what we call resolvable incomplete block designs. And the state of the art until very recently would be the alpha design, which was developed by Emlyn Williams doing a PhD at the University of Edinburgh, supervised by Desmond Patterson. So here's an example of an alpha design. We have a generator, okay, I mustn't touch the mouse or it'll do what it did for David and whiz onto the next slide. So we have a generator here. You can see in this case we're producing a design with 96 plots, which has got 4 replicates with 6 blocks of 4 plots. And the generator that we have has only got 16 numbers in it. In fact, you can ignore the row of zeros and the column of zeros and bring that down to 9. And that's essentially what was the advantage of this. You could go through a computer search process and form a repertoire of good generators that you can then store in a very succinct way. And then if you need a particular alpha design, you pull out the appropriate generator and do some arithmetic, modular arithmetic that allows you to calculate that. Or you can use a program like GenStat that will do it for you. And an extension to this is the Latinized alpha design. Again, this is from Emlyn, but after he went back to Australia. And you can see, in many cases, you will tend to have your replicates going either alongside each other or under each other. Here, in order to get it on the slide, I've put them alongside each other. But you can see we've got block 1 in rep 1, block 1 in rep 2, and so on. And the idea of Latinization is to look at the long blocks that occur from one replicate to another, and to try and organize it so that the treatments within those long blocks, no treatment occurs more than, we might say, its share of times within those long blocks. So it'll either be 1 or 0 or 1 and 2 or something like that. And that's something that can be done by, again, selecting an appropriate alpha array. More recently, I think it's much more advantageous to do this instead of using a repertoire taken off the shelf, to use some software. And the software that I think I would recommend is the software produced by Emlyn and his colleagues, known as PsychDesign. So PsychDesign is a system that constructs near optimal block and row column designs. The methodology that it uses is described in a book by Nijon and Emlyn Williams. Nijon was a professor of statistics at the University of Southampton in the UK, who decided to bail out to New Zealand for a better lifestyle, as he put it, sometime in the 1990s. And so he and Emlyn, who's in Australia, from this side of the world, they look to be very close together, have collaborated together to produce PsychDesign. And the other person involved with PsychDesign is Dave Whittaker, who's a native New Zealander at the University of Waikato. So the results of Nijon and Emlyn Williams' research is embodied in PsychDesign. This is a software system I'm happy to recommend and have no responsibility for, unlike GenStat, where if it goes wrong, you have to blame me. So PsychDesign, I say, is based on a lot of statistical theory, and it has carefully developed custom algorithms, based upon the same algorithms that were used for the computer searches that form the repertoires, that will allow you to construct alpha and cyclic designs. And the custom algorithms essentially use properties like treatment concurrences within the same block. And the mathematical theory shows that that's a good surrogate for the criteria that we want to optimize, which I'll mention in a moment. But they also, and this is an advantage of using the computer method, they also have general algorithms that don't have the constraint that you're using an alpha design or a cyclic design, using systems like simulated annealing, which basically is a way of optimizing a design by switching pairs of treatments. If switching the pair of treatments gives you a better design, you do it. If it doesn't give you a better design, you do it according to a probability that you calculate based upon how much worse it would make the design. So this is a way of avoiding getting into a local optimum in terms of the optimization. So you can go down to a local optimum, and then the probability function will move you back up again, and the hope is that you then go down to a better optimum. And if I was running PsychDesign live, you would be able to see that happening. That it has a progress window, as we'll see, that tells you how you're getting on, and then you can make the choice as to when to stop, as we'll see in a moment. So what it's optimizing, and this is why I mentioned efficiency with the lattice, it's optimizing the average efficiency factor on the treatment comparisons within blocks, if we've got a block design, or if we're fitting random term in two directions, not just blocks, say, but rows and columns, then it's optimizing the average efficiency within the rows and the columns. So it's aiming to treat all of the treatment comparisons equally well and as well as possible. There's a menu-based interface, which I'll show you. And after you've finished, another big advantage is that it will give you the factor codes in field layout, which is good. It'll also give you analysis scripts in your favorite package or in mine. So SAS users can get some SAS code, and GenStat users can get some GenStat code. So this is what it looks like. You've got an interface that has toggle buttons. For example, if I'm careful if I do this, there's a toggle button here which allows us to select a block or a row column design. We can decide whether or not it's resolvable, which I didn't define, but what I mean is that you can group together the blocks in such a way that you form a replicate, as you saw in the lattice design earlier. Another button pops up a menu to set the design parameters. So here we're looking at a relatively small design for 24 treatments in six blocks of size 4, six fours making 24, and with four replicates. And that's setting the design parameters. If I click on next, those will be remembered by the system, and then I can progress further down with the ability to decide whether I want to define groupings, which might be, say, check varieties versus test varieties. on my treatments, or I can even define factorials if I'm doing a row column design, and I can control the randomization, the numbers that are used in order to select the interchanges that we're going to make, which will essentially give us a different design. So another plus is that you don't get the same design every time, which is important if you're going to be doing these kind of designs at several different sites. So once I click on the next button down here, we start, and you can see this is what the progress window looks like. It tells you how long you've been running, and it has an upper bound for the average efficiency factor, so we know what we're aiming at, but this upper bound may not be achievable. Maybe it might involve sort of fractional numbers of plots, which clearly wouldn't be possible. So you can look at the progress and decide the point at which you want to stop. You can leave it running overnight, or you can go for lunch, or you can decide that you've got 20 of these to do in the day and you'll click on next fairly quickly. But you can see here we've got very close to the optimum, 99.5% of the optimum after 1 second. And now I think under those circumstances I would carry on. So if I do carry on, I get a next window that allows me to select various choices to say what the layout is, are the blocks in columns or not. I can also extend my alpha design to produce an unreplicated design, so with check treatments that are done by the alpha and unreplicated ones that are done in other ways. And the button you'll also be interested in is this one that says psychanalysis, that allows us to produce, as I've said, the analysis information. So in the analysis one, we can rename the factors and their levels, we can define a plot factor, save the design in a spreadsheet, I mean Excel as a spreadsheet, generate my code or yours, where the code in terms of the GenStat one certainly will involve analysis by REML. I think the SAS one is involving ProcGLM, but it's easy to convert between the two if you speak SAS. This is what the GenStat design analysis window would look like, but that's probably only for two or three people in the audience. But the same principles apply with the SAS, but you'll just see that it's ProcGLM that's being used. If you happen to be a GenStat user and you don't like the site design style, which is slightly different from the standard Windows systems, we do have the ability to run this out of GenStat as a user menu. GenStat has the ability for people to extend the menu system by writing their own menus. So I am not an expert in writing the GenStat Windows interface. I'm as unskilled as anyone in the audience. So I did this, and if I can do it, anyone can. So you can see we have just a standard Windows interface here where I can set the various parameters in the usual kind of way and then click Run to run the analysis. And if I run it, then I get a GenStat style of output which has a schematic version of the plan, and again, we've saved the information in a spreadsheet which we can save to Excel and email out to our clients. Analysis by REML. As I've said, this is part of the issue here when we're doing variety trials. Here's a conventional analysis with fitting variance components for replicates, replicates.rows and replicates.columns. Here, alternatively, we're going to look at spatial analysis where, instead of, as I said, using standard blocking, we fit models to describe how the correlation between plots changes as they get far apart. So instead of having our residuals with independent normal distributions, which is the usual assumption, we're going to assume that there's a variance-covariance matrix sigma squared multiplied by a correlation matrix R, which we can model by in various ways. Usually we do it with a separable correlation structure, which means we have a correlation based upon how far the plots are by rows multiplied by one that depends upon how far they are by columns. And AR1 is what we find is most useful in practice, or is the one that's most often useful, and that involves a correlation parameter raised to the power of d, where d is the distance that the plots are apart. In order to make this work, we need to estimate spatial covariance parameters as well as the treatment effects, and that's why we need to have perhaps different designs. So this is just showing you the spatial analysis output, which I think I must not spend any time looking at in detail. But you can see we've got the correlation parameters of the AR1 being estimated here, and we've still got the standard Walton F tests for our for our variety testing whether they're all the same or not. So again, just to quickly motivate why this is worth doing, this is comparing the lattice square analysis that you saw originally with an AR1 by AR1, or in fact one with including measurement error as well. And you can see that when we go through and do the full analysis, ignoring the fact that I've made a mistake here typing these things in, the spatial model is indeed much better. Okay, how are we going to get designs though for these spatial situations? Well, the program that we would use here is called Digger, which was developed by Neil Coombs when he was doing a PhD at Rothamsted with me. And he's now back in New South Wales Department of Primary Industry, where they do a huge number of these trials regularly. Digger, the program, has a number of ways of running it. This is one of the ways which you can use. You can see there's a conversational interface running in a DOS box where it's asking you things like how many varieties, what are the dimensions of the experiment, what are the dimensions of your replicates, and do you want some blocking in the direction perpendicular to your rows and columns, and so on. You can follow this through to the point at which it starts to optimize, and you can see the optimization carries forward, and then finally at the end we get the design printed and various files with that information that you can then save in Notepad and copy it into the various things that you might want to do with it. Including, I think it's relatively easy to put it, I think, into Excel, although I haven't done it. I have a different way. But this shows you the list file that gives you the units, in other words, the plot numbers, treatment identifiers, which here are just very standard V5 for entry number 5, rows, which mean rows, ranges, which seem to mean columns in the context of variety trials, replicate number, a treatment code, because the entry numbers need not be the same as the treatment codes, and so on. Here's another way of doing it, which I prefer. This is another user menu in GenStat. This is doing a PREP design, so we've got a design, partially replicated design, where our test lines have got either one or two replicates, and then we've got check lines with either 5 or 6 replicates. So the first 96 varieties have got one rep, the next 28 have got two, then we've got 3 checks with 6 reps and 2 checks with 5 reps. I've got the dimensions of the design here. One of the things that the conversational interface has done for you is to make some assumptions about the sizes of the variance components and the spatial parameters. So if you're not sure what to put in for a correlation parameter, then 0.5 seems to be a safe assumption. In the GenStat menu, you can look at last year's results and think of something a bit more plausible. So, standard Windows type menu. In a PREP, the search has got 2 phases. In the first phase, it's looking to allocate the checks or the replicates uniformly over the design using the blocks that I've defined. So here I've got a design with 15 rows and 12 columns, and within that I've got blocks of size 5 rows, 5 divides into 15 as you'll see, and 6 columns. These don't have to divide exactly, but I think it works most nicely if they do. So I've defined 6 blocks within the whole trial, and you'll see that some of my checks have got 6 reps, and so they'll end up 1 in each block, which is giving us a better way of estimating the fertility over the plot. And it'll also try and balance up the doubly replicated test varieties so that they're not in the same part of the field. So if I do the analysis, again I get the similar kind of thing as you saw before in GenStat. Columns 7 to 12 are put below in order to get them on the screen, but you can see I've got, my blocks were, the first 5 rows was block 1, 6 to 10 would be block 2, 11 to 15 would be block 3, and then blocks 4, 5 and 6 down there. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Numbering wasn't what I thought, but if you look, you can see we've got the groups. Groups are defined to be representing the test varieties versus the checks, and you can see if you want to look at this for a little while that it will indeed have balanced them up. And this happens within something like 2 minutes. So it's not a long process to do this. And we now have a PREP design that we can go forward and grow. Okay, so that was actually all I wanted to show you. I've got a number of relevant references down here to the various bits of work that I've referred to. So this is Neil's PhD. This is the paper that we wrote out of the PhD, and then we've got various of the standard papers explaining, you know, the advantages of spatial REML, and, you know, the various ones relating back to the original work. But the other ones I'd like you to just, you know, if you're interested in this, you might want to make a note of, are the websites where you can download Site Design, or you can download Digger, or you can download GenStat. So if you're doing those kind of trials, I hope you might find these things useful.